Hey there, it is Shannon Roberts. You are on the Shannon Roberts podcast. Today, I would like to share a word with you regarding the light. This past Sunday, the Lord woke me up and he took me back to scripture in John chapter 3. Now, he had had me in this same chapter about a week or so before that, and I never really dug into what he was saying, but the day before he brought me back to it, so the Saturday before, I was speaking to a friend and it came to mind yet again. And so when I woke up Sunday morning, I was digging in and right away went into John chapter 3. Let's go ahead and read John chapter 3, beginning at verse 19. And the judgment is based on this fact: God's light came into the world, but people loved the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it for fear their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light so others can see that they're doing what God wants. At first glance, without digging too deep into this, at first we can think to ourselves, oh, praise the Lord, we are in the light and everything is well and the Lord is happy with us, and poor, poor souls who are still in the darkness, we will pray for them and trust that the Lord will bring them to his light. Today, I want us to explore a little deeper. I want us to do some excavation. I sense that the Lord has some nuggets for each of us, maybe all of us, in four different ways. First, helping us see that some folks might not like the light within us and what that might look like. Second, it may help explain why there might be combativeness in our homes with regard to the light and dark. Three, folks who could be drawn to our light, but the reasoning might not be genuine or even godly or Christ-centered. And fourth, to celebrate those relationships where we are pressing into the light together and the light within each of us are helping to expose those things that aren't Christ-reflective or radiating, and we can help to pray one another through those moments. So let's break this down for the first point. God's light came into the world, but people loved the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it for fear their sins will be exposed. So we know that Jesus is the light of the world. If we read John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus himself says, "I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life." We know that Jesus Christ is the light of the world, but we also know that Jesus Christ, who lives in us, now has that light within us. So let's pick it up at John chapter 17, verse 23. "I am in them," this is Jesus speaking, "and you are in me," God. God is in Jesus. "May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me." So let's recap. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus lives in us, so the light lives within us. Therefore, others may have a hard time being in our presence. What could this look like? This could look like loved ones, say family members or close friends or perhaps even brothers and sisters in Christ who are uncomfortable with the light of Christ in your life. It could mean that those folks want to keep a long distance or 10 stiff arms between them and you, and that can be painful, that can be hurtful, that can be difficult and challenging in our walk with the Lord if we don't understand the dynamic that is taking place. What do we do in that situation? Well, we pray. We pray, we trust and have faith that the Lord, through His Holy Spirit and His written word, will guide us. He will give us and grant us the wisdom to know how long we should keep our distance, how well to keep our distance, how frequently we should interact. He is the one who knows all. Check out Proverbs 7:4 or even Proverbs 4:7. He blesses us and desires that we have wisdom and understanding through His Spirit, because He is our teacher, He is our guide through His Holy Spirit. He will bless us with the wisdom and understanding of how to go about moving forward in these relationships where folks are living in the darkness, or they're perhaps living in a shadier light, if that makes sense, and who are refusing to connect with us, or they'd rather stay at bay, or they would rather simply not interact with us. Now, my prayer is that if that is the case, those folks aren't murmuring and backbiting and talking behind backs, because that's certainly going to complicate the situation and matters even more. You've likely just thought to yourself, well, that's already taking place. That's already happening. What do I do then? Again, I exhort us to go to prayer. Pray and trust and have faith that the good Lord Almighty, through His Spirit and through His Word, will bring peace that passes understanding, will bring comfort, will release our desire for control of the situation so we don't complicate it, so we don't make matters worse, but we allow the Lord to draw them to His light within us in His perfect timing. Point number two. And this is where Holy Spirit was really ministering to me. What about when it seems as though the light and the dark are cohabitating? They live under the same roof. They are living together through marriage or maybe through children. What do we do then? Because at that point, we cannot keep an arm's distance. And sometimes it's pinky toe to pinky toe, you know, especially in a marriage situation. What are we to do then? Again, I encourage and exhort us to go to prayer and trust the Lord in those situations. I understand it can be extremely challenging when you are doing your best to follow the light of Jesus Christ in your life, when you know that He lives within you, He is leading, He is guiding, He is speaking words of encouragement to others through your life, He is causing you to minister to others in ways you never thought possible, you never imagined you would be doing. And yet when you're in your own home, it seems like it is a wrestling match in the spirit, or that there is emotional upheaval all the time, or perhaps you're the only one that seems to be living for the Lord, or who wants to live for the Lord, and the decisions that you make compared to those in your household are starkly contrasting. And so it can become wearisome. It can be wearing down on our soul. But again, I want to encourage us to go into the dark room, go into the secret place, go into that place where negatives are developed into positives, into a positive picture or image, and trust the Lord's light to shine brightly upon what it is that is on your heart. And then begin to pray. Pray that your light will become a flame, that those in your home will be like moths, not that they're bugs or insects or anything like that, but they would be attracted to you. Ask Him, Lord, what is it that will attract my family? What is it that will attract my loved ones, rather than make them feel like they are being beaten down under the noonday sun, rather than make them feel like they are becoming hardened as clay, or rather than making them feel like they are baked and dried up and dried out? What would bring life? What would bring, again, attraction to your light in my life? Help me to see what that is. And then, Holy Spirit, give me the wisdom and the understanding and the want to and the empowerment to walk it out. Because at the end of the day, we want our loved ones to be so enamored with Jesus Christ that His light is then shining and radiating through them as well. Then when they go into the workplace, or when they go into their field of work where they are interacting with others in different regions or states, or when they go into the classroom or on the tennis court or on the soccer field, then they are radiating Christ's light there as well. And even more are being drawn to Jesus Christ, and then have the opportunity to ask Him to be a light in and through their lives. So again, we come back to prayer and trusting Holy Spirit to lead and guide us. What is the third point that the Lord brought to my attention? There might not always be people who want to keep their distance from us, or intentionally are creating space and avoiding interactions. And you might not have a wrestling match going in your house between dark and light. You may be, in fact, experiencing folks who appear to be drawn to the light in you, who may even seemingly have the same flame ablazing in their hearts and in their souls. But when you get to the heart of the matter, when we get into prayer and we get into that secret place again with the Lord, there might be some things revealed. It could be that folks are attracted to your light simply because they are interested in what's in it for them. Now, I know that can seem harsh to say, but it's a reality and it's also biblical. So if we look at Acts chapter 8, let's start at verse 14. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the people of Samaria had accepted God's message, they sent Peter and John there. As soon as they arrived, they prayed for these new believers to receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them, for they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands upon these believers, and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given when the apostles laid their hands on people, he offered them money to buy this power. "Let me have this power too," he exclaimed, "so that when I lay my hands on people, they will receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter replied, "May your money be destroyed with you for thinking God's gift can be bought. You can have no part of this, for your heart is not right with God. Repent of your wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive your evil thoughts, for I can see that you are full of bitter jealousy and are held captive by sin." So here we see Simon was drawn to the light of the Holy Spirit and the movement of the Holy Spirit as witnessed by the laying on of hands and observing the Holy Spirit manifesting once done so. And he wasn't really necessarily drawn to the light because he wanted to be corrected or because he wanted to be able to be submitted to God's glory entering the earth. No, he was in it for himself. And unfortunately, there can be folks in our lives that do the same. They see that we are gifted or that we have the ability to share in ways or build in ways or lead in ways or speak in ways, and they want that for themselves. It's not necessarily for the glory of God. It's not necessarily for the building and edification of the church. It's not necessarily to encourage brothers and sisters in Christ. It's not necessarily to serve and love others the way God calls them to. It might in fact be driven by a selfish desire to have something too, which the root of this, as we read here, is jealousy. Jealousy. Because of that competitive nature, because of that me too nature. Well, you have that, I want that too. You seem special, I want to be special. This focus can lead to destruction. It can lead to destruction of the relationship. It can also lead to exposure to allow us to see why folks are in fact part of our lives to begin with. Today, I just want to encourage us again to go to prayer. Perhaps as we've been listening and diving into this, faces and names came to mind of folks who seem to only want something from us rather than praying for us, or only want to have us provide something for them, or they witness that we have been able to operate in a specific gift, so then right away they think they need to be operating in that same gift, completely forgetting the fact that you personally have gone through only the process you could go through to get to that place to begin with. God has had his hand in your life in very specific ways for you to bring you to this place in your life to serve out his call for your life in the way he needs you to. That's often forgotten about. And folks want to be right where other folks are and forego that maturation process, forego that allowing Christ Jesus and his Spirit to move us from a flicker to a blazing flame through the process in which we are tried and we are tested and we are reproved and we are corrected. We cannot circumvent the process. We have to be encouraged to pray that folks will not be tempted to circumvent their process, their walk with the Lord, in order to get something from him because they see others who have something they want for their own personal gain. The gifts, again, are encouraged to build up the body of Christ, to usher in God's glory into the earth, and to radiate the face of Jesus Christ. And so today, again, encourage us to go to prayer and pray, if faces and names do come to mind, that we would ask the Lord to lead us and guide us in those relationships, help us to see where we may need to have a conversation, help us to see where we may need to press the pause button, help us to see where we might need to sever relationships even, because we're beginning to see and understand that it is more a selfish-driven desire to have the light that is in us rather than work with and create an even brighter light in collaboration and conjunction with one another. What is the fourth point? There will be those relationships, and we talk about in the Rise Up Commitment, those corner four relationships where they're true connection, where we are together willing to be exposed together, where personally and individually we're going to the Lord and we're laying ourselves out before Him and saying, Lord, search my heart, cast your light on my soul, my thoughts, my mind, what I'm thinking, what I'm feeling, help me to see anything that is within me that is not light, that may be snuffing out your light, Lord, and help it to be removed, cause it to be removed from my life. And then second, we are able to go into communion or into community or into relationship with others who are also doing that in their personal life, but then able to come collectively as well and say, look, the Lord shared this with me. He revealed this to me. And this is what I think that He would have me to share with you because He loves you and He wants to see His light shine through you. That's going to be the litmus test. If you can meet with folks and have those types of conversation and it's blessed and it's encouraging and there is refining and there's repentance and there's a turning, then you have got yourself light partners or a light community. But if folks take offense or they feel like they don't have to listen to you or they feel like you're dead wrong or they want to shut the conversation down, that's when it's time to really press in and pray and ask the Lord, Lord, what would you have me do in this? Now, there are certainly going to be times where you're going to have to allow space and trust the Lord. And if it is a covenant relationship that the Lord Himself has established, things will come back around and they will come back full circle. If it was not Christ-centered, if it was more attracted to your light centered for selfish reasons, then that's eventually going to reveal itself and unfortunately, likely break down, and you will be able to see that. The prayer then will be to allow the Lord to lead and guide you in what that looks like, to be able to speak the truth in love. Now, this isn't necessarily a fifth point. It's just something to kind of keep in mind as we move forward. 2 Corinthians 3:18 reads, and I'm reading from the Passion Translation, "We can all draw close to Him with the veil removed from our faces, and with no veil, we all become like mirrors who brightly reflect the glory of the Lord Jesus. We are being transfigured into His very image as we move from one brighter level of glory to another, and this glorious transfiguration comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." Now, why did I read that, and where does it fit into this context? It occurred to me we can be in those corner four relationships where we have true connection. Our light is all shining within this similar range. And then all of a sudden, it's as though God is calling us up to that next glory, that one brighter level of glory to the next. And those around us may feel left behind. They may feel rejected. They may feel forgotten. When in fact, the Lord is simply saying, I'm calling you up. I'm calling you up higher. I don't know if you've ever experienced that before. But what do we do in those situations? Because it's not that we live above anyone. It's not that they live below. It's not that they are inferior or we are superior, but we can tell and we can know that the Lord is calling us deeper, which is causing us to rise higher in our walk with Him from one brighter level of glory to another. What do we do in those instances? What do we do in those situations? We pray. Are you catching a theme here? We pray in all instances that the Lord will lead and guide us in that, that those who we have been operating with and we have been vibing and riding together in the same plane for a good long season, sometimes a short season, that they will understand that it is now time for us to go to this next place. And it's not because we're better, it's not because we're special, it's because that's what we need to do to continue to allow God's glory to flow in and through our lives to fill the earth, which is what he's called each of us to do. And therein can lie the challenge for many of us, because we want to put our hand to this. We want to put our accreditation to this. We want to receive some sort of accolade. And the Lord is simply saying, this is not about you. This is about me. This is about my name in the earth. This is about my glory filling the earth. This is about my son being known. And this is about me calling you to love me and love one another, because that is how people will know that we are his true disciples. And we can still love well in different planes. We can still love well. It is really up to us pressing into the Lord and asking, Lord, help me to not be jealous. Help me to not be competitive. Help me to not feel like I have to have that too. Help me to feel like I'm not losing when it appears they're winning. Help me to be happy right where I am. Help me to live out Philippians 4, verse 12. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. Whether I'm in that high glory with them or whether I'm not, or whether I happen to be in the higher glory and or I'm not. It's all about resting in him and trusting we are where he needs us to be, and not growing full of envy and jealousy and bitterness and resentment and frustration and fear that we're missing out, or we're somehow slighted, or we're somehow not as gifted because we want others to see us the same way. It's not about us. It's about King Jesus. I want to summarize John chapter 3, verses 19 through 21, speaking of those who love the darkness more than the light and what the implications for this are. But those who do what is right come to the light so others can see that they are doing what God wants. And we were able to extract four different things in a little bonus message at the end there, that there are going to be folks who don't want to come around us because of the light that lives within us. If he's truly living within us, there are going to be people who keep their distance and who stay away. And we have to remember not to take that personal and go and pray. There are going to be folks within our own house that it seems like there is a dark and light wrestling match, where it's like a wrestling match of dark and light in your household. And what do we do in those situations? We pray, ask the Lord, cause me to be a light that will attract and draw my family to you. The third thing that we picked up on was that there could be folks who are attracted to our light because they have a desire to benefit for their own sake, for their own well-being, rather than truly merge lights together so there's an even brighter light shining for the glory of God and for the name of Jesus Christ to be known. And fourth, there are going to be folks who want to press in and go into the light personally and individually with you and in community. And those folks are going to be the folks where you're not going to have to worry about jealousy or competition or the wrestling of if your glory is more glorious than their glorious light. Those are going to be the folks who understand that this is about Jesus and not about us. And then that bonus message of we can be in community with folks for a year and a half, 3 years, and sense that the Lord is calling us to a new glorious light from one image to the next image, glory to glory, as we're being transfigured and transformed, and to again pray and trust him to lead us and guide us through that so that we can all keep our eyes on Jesus rather than feeling like we're missing out or we're not as good or we're not as blessed or we're feeling inferior or so on and so forth. As we close this message, I want to encourage us to maybe go to the Lord with this and spend some time and ask him to reveal areas where these dynamics were going on, and then ask him to lead and guide us through that. Ask him to reveal to us what an action step is, what a prayer point is for us to be able to trust him to lead and guide us in and provide wisdom and understanding as he encourages us to pursue, again, in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7 and Proverbs chapter 7, verse 4. He will provide wisdom and understanding. And so as we go towards Christmas, we are just 14 days away, guys, from Christmas when the light of the world, woohoo, came into the world. And we have all been given the opportunity to live dramatically different lives because King Jesus was born. He walked this earth. He lived. He died. He was crucified for our sake. Yes, he was buried in the tomb, but he rose again from the dead on the third day, walked the earth, ascended to heaven, and now his glorious Holy Spirit lives within you and I. His light lives within you and I. And if you're hearing this today and you're thinking, woman, you just lost your marbles because you have not heard this message before, I want to have a conversation with you. Please email me, Shannon, S-H-A-N-O-N, at riseupdevotions.com, because I am telling you, the light of the world is for you today as well. He can redeem your past. He can redeem your hurts. He can redeem your pains. He can redeem what feels like lost time, and he can turn you into a new creation in him, in Christ Jesus, and your life can be forever changed and set on a completely new and marvelous trajectory from this day forward. So I would love to have that chat with you. I'm going to pray for us right now. Father God, thank you for this word. Thank you, Jesus, for helping us see. Thank you, Jesus, for shining your light on your word, your truth, Lord God. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that your word would cut through the darkness, Lord, as you do, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would help us to apply this word in our everyday, day-to-day lives, Lord, and that we could bring honor and glory to your name and others can be known in the way we live this out. Father, I ask that as we approach King Jesus's birthday, Lord, that we would pray for an increase of his light in our life, an increase of his light to expand and push out any darkness that might still be hanging around in our thought life, in our feelings, in our emotion life, Lord God, in our bodies, Lord. I pray for healing in the name of Jesus in stomachs and in backs, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, for minds to no longer be heavy and oppressed and dark and depressed. God, I thank you in the name of Jesus that you are a healer today. Father God, I thank you for healing in forearms and elbows. God, I ask in the name of Jesus that anyone with a sore throat or experiencing a cold, a flu, Lord, that there would be healing in the name of Jesus, God. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would begin to flood minds at the top of the head, woo, and flow, Lord, through the soles of feet right now, listening to this, Lord God. Your Spirit is ever present all the time, and I have faith that anyone listening to these words right now can receive your light and spirit into their lives today. Lord, I thank you and praise you. Father, I thank you for sending Jesus to live and die and rise again and now live within each of those who call on his name. Praying, Lord Jesus, that today if somebody is listening within the sound of my voice and they don't know you, they would call out to you today, Lord, and ask you to come into their lives so they too, Lord, can be delivered from darkness and live in the marvelous light of your presence, your truth, your word and ways. Lord, you are amazing. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Okay, so I just want to encourage you right now, the Beyond 2020 publication is out there and it is at the discounted price and will be through the end of the year. So that is on Amazon.com. If you simply type in Amazon and then Shannon, S-H-A-N-O-N, Roberts, you will see the publications. And I just want to encourage you with that. It is a mini devotional. It is a calendar. It is a notes and doodle. It is chock full of goodness. And it encourages you to make Jesus Christ the center of your life. It encourages you to figuring out what your calling is or continuing on in your calling. If you know what it is, you are encouraged to take care of the vessel he lives within, your body through a variety of ways, and then loving others well. So I do want to encourage you with that. You should be able to get it in time for Christmas because I believe if you have Prime, they still have 2-day shipping right now. It is a great gift. It's been gifted multiple times. There are some reviews of how this changed lives last year. There is a very specific focus on vision as well. It is my conviction after prayer in July of this year that 2020 is a year of clarity. It's a year of laser focus. It's a year of our vision being fine-tuned. It is a year of no wasted resources of time, money, energy. We will not be doing what we're not supposed to be doing. We will confidently say no. We will confidently guard whatever it is God is calling us to, because we know that that is what we need to do to set the tone, not only for 2020, but moving forward and beyond. I want to encourage you again to check that out. It's on Amazon. And all you have to do is type in Shannon, S-H-A-N-O-N, Roberts, and publications will come up, and it's Beyond 2020. All right, I am so grateful that you were able to listen today. I pray you have a blessed and wonderful week. Maybe I will hop back on here before Christmas. Who knows? The Lord does. Take care. God bless.